Welcome to another episode of Shot in the Dark. I'm your host, John Cena Evil here. Let's get right down to it, starting with AEW Dark's Elevation. Has Frankie Kazarian defeated Teddy Goods by submission with his chicken wing? Diamante defeated Ashley Dumbois. This comes off from last week where Diamante attacked Dumbois after they had a tag team match and they lost. Diamante gets a submission win here with a stretch hold. The Dark Order, Stu Grayson, John Silver, Alex Reynolds, Allen Five Angels, and Ten defeated Chaos Project and the Gun Club in a 10-man match. During the match, Mark Henry keeps talking about his animal sounds of the week. And, you know, last week he did a seal sound. The week before that was an elephant sound. And the sound of the week this week is an owl, as we continue to note the progress of his animal sounds. John Silver gets the pin on Serpentico after they hit their triple team move in a really fun, fast-paced match. Ruby Soho, Anna Jay, and Sky Blue defeated the team of The Bunny, Emi Sakura, and Lufisto, making her debut fresh off the Indie Hall of Fame induction. And now that Ty Conti is a little bit busy, maybe Anna Jay and Sky Blue can form the tag team known as the Blue Jays. I gotta give credit to Chris Elliott and Dickie Bird for that name. Ruby gets the pin on Lufisto after the Destination Unknown. Jora Joel, finally, we get some answers on Jora Joel as he comes out to Andrade's music as well as a member of the AFO, but he does lose to Penta Oscuro here. Penta gets the win after snapping back Joel's arm. And the last match here was Top Flight defeated Aaron Solo and Nick Camarado. This was a pretty good match here with Dante getting the pin on Solo after hitting a dropkick while he was trapped in the corner. Before the match, QT gets in a mic and offers Top Flight to join the factory and gives them some t-shirts, but of course they refuse. There was another match that was scheduled to air here between Layla Hirsch and Christina Marie, but Hirsch did suffer an injury during the match, so that match ended in a no contest and was cut from this edition. We go to Tuesday's AEW Dark, starts with Powerhouse Hobbs defeated Axton Ray extremely quickly with the torture rack. Throughout the show, we actually get these video packages for the matches for Dynamite. Some of them were really good. They had like a really well-produced one with the Jericho Appreciation Society, Eddie Kingston, Santana, or Ortiz going back and forth, and Kingston giving some really good promos here. We get a really great one for Samoa Joe and Minoru Suzuki for the ROH title. We get one for Red Dragon versus Jurassic Express, and then we got one for Adam Cole versus Hangman Page. So I kind of like how they sprinkle these in throughout the matches here to give a little bit more value to AEW Dark. Back to the matches. Max Caster defeated Mike Reed with the mic drop. Diamante defeated the debuting Milo extremely quickly with the stretch jacket submission. We had a backstage promo from Rohit Raju talking about being a superstar here in AEW Dark, and he will shine a bit of light onto the show. Jora Joel, fresh off his arm getting broken, defeats Teddy Goods with a running boot. This was filmed a long time ago, so who knows if he's going to be seen after that match with Penta. Emi Sakura defeated Charlotte the Renegade with the Magistral Cradle, and Sean Dean defeated Rohit Raju in the main event with his hammerlock into a flatliner. I think he calls it the Deal, if I'm not mistaken. He has mentioned that name before on the AEW podcast, but Sean Dean gets a victory here ahead of his upcoming match with MJF. We go to NXT UK. Former tag team partners here facing off as Primate of Symbiosis defeated Wild Boar. Primate gets the win after T-Bone distracts the referee and Eddie Dennis hits Boar over the head with a steel chain. And then after the match, Symbiosis put the dog collar on Boar and attack him until Mark Andrews runs out for the save. So I guess this gives something for Mark Andrews to do while his the rest of his subculture team is out with injuries. And we do have the Wales connection as well as WWE gets ready for this big premium live event in the UK in a couple months. We go backstage where Sam Gradwell finds maggots in his bags and blames Kenny Williams for them. Jack Starrs and Dave Mastiff have a little bit of an argument with the Coffee Brothers and the PC about who can lift more. As we go into Charlie Dempsey defeated Wolfgang, Dempsey gets the pin with a bridge suplex after Tioman's eye comes on the screen and Rohan Raja gets on the apron to distract Wolfgang. Joey Mark Coffey were not ringside for this match. Mako Satomura says that she wants her title back, the one that Isla Dawn stole from her, and invites her for a face-to-face next week. Kenny Williams denies putting maggots in Gradwell's bag and gets upset when he finds a note on his locker. Zaya Brookside and Eliza Alexander cut a promo where Eliza says that she will have her debut match next week. Sid Scala announces a 2 out of 3 falls match for the tag team championship between Mustache Mountain versus Oliver Carter and Ashton Smith. And then Wolfgang bumps into Joe and Mark Coffey. He was upset that they weren't at ringside, and they apologize and says that it wouldn't happen again. We go to the main event for the NXT UK Championship. Ia Dragunov defeated Roderick Strong. This was an excellent 15-minute match here. Some vicious backbreakers from Strong, as always. But he had a little bit of a knee injury throughout the match. So Dragunov took advantage of it and hits him with the Torpedo Moscow for the victory. Definitely check this match out. Impact Wrestling, not much to talk about here, as this was just pretty much a replay running down the matches of multiverse of matches they had over WrestleMania weekend, sprinkled with a couple of match announcements for next week, as well as the Rebellion pay-per-view that's coming up. We go to NWA USA, starts with Colby Carino defeated Action Mike Jackson, yes, the 72-year-old Jackson here. They mentioned that on commentary that the day that Colby Carino was born, Jackson was 47 years old, just showing the age difference here. Carino gets the pin after hitting Jackson with an illegal object on the outside. Aria Daivari defeated Sal Renaro after the magic carpet ride, and Renaro getting a little bit distracted. After the match, Daivari calls out Nick Aldis, so we should be seeing that match. He was talking about how Nick Aldis always favored his brother Sean Daivari over him. And in the main event here, Marche Rocket with a mystery partner who was revealed to be Jack Stain defeats the Fixers, and as a result of the match's stipulation, Marche Rocket will get a future national title shot against Jack Stain. NWA Power starts with the Commonwealth Connection of Doug Williams and Harry Smith defeating the Dirty Sexy Boys, JTG and Dirty Dango. Velvet Sky was on commentary, and she was like trying to talk to Dango a little bit, as be a little flirtatious with him, as she's been kind of like over the moon over him for the last couple weeks here. And this gives Doug Williams just enough time to grab Dango, put him in the ring for a submission for the win. And after the match, Velvet Sky was apologizing to Dango while still flirting with him. We go backstage with Kyle Davis and Austin Idol and ask him what did he say to Scion last week during the slam challenge that distracted him, and Idol says he told him that he knows who his father is and that his father was a main eventer and a big deal, and he says that his father was him, as Austin Idol reveals that he's the father of Scion. Not sure if this is real in storyline obviously or just Idol messing with him. Kylan King making her Power debut. She did appear on the Empower pay-per-view for NWA, but yes, the AEW Dark regular here, defeating Natalia Markova. This was pretty much a big upset, I would think, with Markova not really losing much here, and treated like a big victory for King. But Markova was giving her everything throughout the match, and she literally just kept kicking out of everything, so really nice showing here from Kylan King, and she hits what they call the Excalibur for the win. May Valentine is backstage with Mims, and Mims says that he wants to take Tyrus up on the Slam Challenge. La Rebellion was at the podium and asked where the Briscoes were and said that they're scared to face them and that La Rebellion isn't scared of any tag teams in the NWA. We get this weird interview with Aaron Stevens and May Valentine where Stevens was like going in and out of characters. He was trying to talk about Trevor Murdoch, but he literally just kept like bouncing back between characters. Really weird. Speaking of weird, we have the new team called the Miserably Faithful. This is Sinister Minister's new group. So we have Judas here, Sal the Pal, I guess Sal Renaro's new name, and a tag team partner called Gags the Gimp. He looks just like his name would say he would. I'll leave it at that. If you want to look him up, you can, but he's pretty much a gimp. He has a mask on and everything. And they defeat the team of Colby Carino and the Fixers. Gags the Gimp gets the pin on Jay Bradley after an assisted sliced bread. I have no idea who this is under this mask. And the main event here for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship, Matt Cardona defeated the Pope. Tim Storm, who was on commentary, actually had to leave during this match as Cardona demanded after what happened at the Crockett Cup that he is not in the building when he faces in his matches. And the last time these two faced off was in a tag team match back in the WWE ECW back in 2007. So it's the first time they have a one-on-one match here. And this comes off after Cardona sidelined Pope after tossing him into the steps. This match was pretty long, a little over 16 minutes here. The finish came when Cardona used the referee as a shield just to poke Pope in the eye and hit the radio silence for the win and the retainment. Pretty good match here. We go to Level Up. We have a couple new debuts here, some new signings here. The first match is Javier Bernal getting his first victory in WWE, defeated Guru Raj with a codebreaker. Ivy Nile defeated the debutant Thea Hale. Hale is a new signee. She formerly used to go by Nikita Knight, who has appeared on AEW Dark, but Nile submits her with the Dragon Sleeper. But Hale got some good offense in her debut match. Andre Chase and Bodie Hayward of Chase University defeated the debuting Channing Loren and Trey Donovan. Loren and Donovan both appeared on AEW Dark as well. Loren is the former Jake Tucker, and Donovan is the former Cole Carter. The crowd was really behind Bodie during this match. They kept cheering for him, and they wanted him to get tagged in. And then Chase and Bodie, they get the win after hitting this new tag team finisher. It's kind of like like Bodhi puts the opponent in like a gory special position, and then Chase hits him with like a jumping flatliner. Pretty good move here. We got a New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong. Hikuleo defeated Andy Brown. Brown, who has about 10 years of wrestling experience, is making his debut here, but Hikuleo gets to win with a chokeslam. Josh Alexander defeated Carl Fredericks. This match was really great. Had a fantastic ending sequence that saw Alexander hit the C4 spike piledriver for the win, but definitely check this match out. And then after the match, The Factory appears. Yes, fresh off of AEW. QT Marshall, Nick Camarado, and Aaron Solo making their New Japan debut, I guess, with the exception of Solo. He's been on Strong before, but QT and Nick Camarado here. They join Fredericks in the ring as QT starts with, you know who we are, but you don't know why we're here, a little Scott Hall tribute. And then he tells Fredericks to stop wasting his time with the LA Dojo and Shibata and invites him to join the factory. And then Fredericks tosses the factory shirt off and attacks them. But Camarado takes him down and the factory attack Fredericks, but Clark Connors and Yuri Uemura come out to save them and challenge them to a six-man match at the Windy City Riot show, which is this coming weekend. Eddie Kingston and Fred Rosser team up to defeat Daniel Garcia and Fred Yehi, with Rosser pinning Yehi in a really hard-hitting tag team match. And then after the match, Kingston kept attacking Garcia, continuing the feud from AEW. In the main event here in the USFJ Challenge Series, Jay White defeats Chris Sabin. This was filmed before their Multiverse of Matches match, where Sabin got the victory, so technically this happened first, but it is a rematch in storyline sense, as Sabin makes his New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong debut. Really good match here with White countering the Cradle Shock into the Blade Runner for the win, and then after the match, White cuts a promo, and he gets interrupted by Hikuleo, who White tried to say that although his brother's time in the Bullet Club expired with G.O.D., he didn't, and he is the future of the Bullet Club, and they go back and forth a little bit until White challenges him to a match to prove himself. We go to main event, where Apollo Crews defeated Greg Leslie. Leslie is better known as Niles Plonk, who has appeared on 205 Live in the past. After the match, Apollo told Commander Aziz to attack Leslie, and Shelton Benjamin defeated T-Bar with the pay dirt. So now that Veer Mahan is on Raw, finally, I guess that undefeated streak on main event has ended for the time being. And the only WWE Network edition of the week is an episode of ICW Fight Club. That is it for me this week. You guys can catch me here next week for another episode of Shot in the Dark.